All right, you're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcast out of unceded Musqueam territories. Does the theme song sound weird to you or no?
No,
it sounds perfectly normal.
Oh, it sounds
my headphones are messed
good.
Up. I don't know what's going on here. But you're listening to Vancouverite. It's your favorite Thursday morning entertainment, comedy, talk show.
So many important things.
Yeah, so many important things. Oh, it's a slow one today. It's reading break. There's nobody here.
No.
I feel like
nobody cares.
It's a ghost town. Yeah. But that's all right. Whatever. I'm going to take these headphones off because I can't even hear myself. And I'm going to shift over here and grab these. You'll notice we're here again with Gavin Clarkson, who's
good morning.
A mainstay on the show.
Indeed.
How are you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm great. Everything's going just fine. It was nice and easy getting here on the bus, rather a bit of a ghost town at UBC. It's probably just going to be us and Stuart listening over in IT, and that'll be about it.
Alex is waking up somewhere and listening, I'm sure, comfy, cozy in his bed.
Yeah. You know. Couldn't be here. Last time, last we heard from him, he had answered a Craigslist personals ad and was last seen driving away with somebody in a back alley in the back of a Toyota RAV4, was in Teresa Halbach Green.
We'll have to see
where that plays out.
If there are any unassuming, chubby, balding, gray-haired men
who have already been in prison once before.
Yeah. Keep your eye out. Alex,
definitely him.
Alex, please be okay. Call in if you're okay. And you can call in, too, at 604-UBC-CITR. Oof. We're off to a rocky start, but we're going okay here. My headphones have been, for all you listeners, the headphone situation has been
I was afraid.
Fixed. Yeah,
you're the technical one. I don't know how to do things with stuff.
But it's all, everything's okay now. Anyways, are you a superhero movie guy or no?
I am. I saw Deadpool
on
Friday. So not quite opening night. I'm not super extreme hardcore.
I wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
What did you think?
I loved it.
You loved it?
Oh, I thought it was one of the best Marvels for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was very tongue-in-cheek, very, very true to the fans.
Yeah.
Very true to the comics as far as I know. I wasn't a huge Deadpool reader.
No.
But from what I've heard, it's very faithful and well done and done on an extraordinarily reasonable budget for how good it looked. It was like $58 million or something, which is still an obscene amount of money.
Yeah.
But for
only
in comparison, it's like, it wasn't $250 million, so it was made on pennies.
It's like a house and a half on the North Shore.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
that's
a good,
not a big deal.
We should do movie budgets by housing.
I will say this. They really made fun of Ryan Reynolds a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. How do you write a script and then include, like, you think they went into the editing process and just started making fun of Ryan Reynolds post-script writing?
I think he was there for all of it.
Yeah, because I saw he had a producer credit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of his baby.
Really?
Yeah, because like a couple of years ago, they've been trying to make it for like 11 years or something.
Wow.
And a couple of years ago, like, a CGI test footage was released online.
Yeah.
It was accidentally leaked.
Okay.
Kind of accidentally. Probably pretty on purpose.
Yeah.
Because it went viral and took right off.
Mm-hmm.
And that scene was incorporated in the existing movie. So it's because of that leak that the movie was even produced.
What scene is that? Is that spoiling anything?
Not really. It's the one at the beginning where he fights everybody in the cars.
Right.
And it's a very similar one that was the CGI test footage of, like, if we were to make a Deadpool, this is what it would look like. And it was with Ryan Reynolds and everything.
Oh, okay.
And that just took fire and the fans loved it, and eventually a movie was greenlit just based on that premise.
Yeah. I gotta be honest, I'm not a superhero movie person.
No!
In any way, no.
How can you?
No.
It's all that's being released now.
I know.
You must not have watched a movie since Batman Begins.
Well, it's been tough.
Yeah.
I've been watching them, but in a glaze and with a seething hatred in my heart.
Yeah.
But my girlfriend wanted to see it, and she was like, well, it's supposed to be funny, right? Mm-hmm. It looks funny. And I went, oh God, okay, fine, I'll see it. And she said, well, you know, I have enough scene points that we can go see it.
Oh, scene points are the best.
So I went, yeah, why not? Let's go see it. honestly, I felt like it was the biggest problem for me was that with all superhero movies, actually, is there's never any tension because you know as an audience member that there's no wrong that's ever really going to befall these characters in terms of by the end of the movie. Right?
That's true. But
you know that. And,
yeah.
And so that makes every point of action sort of meaningless in a lot of ways. For me, just for me.
Yeah.
You know, as an audience member. Because you know, okay, well, all right, we've seen this slow-mo bullet falling to the ground so many times before in other movies, and yet it's dull because I understand that by the end of this movie, everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
There's no tension in this action scene for me.
That's true, but I think that premise can be adapted to so many different movie categories. Like, how many movies do you go in where you're just like, yeah, the main guy is definitely going to die, and this is going to be a horrible, depressing experience? Except for any Pixar movie.
Yeah.
That happens in every Pixar movie.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's true, though, that Pixar movies are more groundbreaking in terms of character
and emotionally devastating.
And emotional development. Than superhero movies are.
No, this is true.
As a genre, superhero stuff are the only ones that, you're right, that I can't have a reasonable, you know, opinion of, okay,
yeah,
I don't know.
Good guy wins is a pretty common thing.
Yeah, it is. But for 100%, I'm 100% sure that in superhero movies it's going to happen. Mm. I may be 80 or 75% sure in any other genre.
Okay.
Or maybe even less. But I'm still fairly certain everything's going to work out. But I don't know in any action sequence or any scene that has any impact what's going to happen. In a superhero movie, I do. And that's that, okay, even if he gets beaten, it's fine. He's not going to die. There's nothing. Because it's the old Superman problem, which is
you can't relate to Superman because Superman's Superman.
And there's also no tension because they're invincible.
Yeah.
Even when some kind of a device is put into the plot where, oh no, he doesn't have his powers anymore or something. You know, and still I'm going, okay, don't worry, it's
Kryptonite.
Fine.
The device you're thinking of is Kryptonite.
That's right. Yeah. well, I don't know. It's bizarre for me, though, because I do love, like, RoboCop and Super Troopers and Conan the Barbarian, and these are dumb movies.
Super Troopers.
Yeah, I love Super Troopers.
Oh, yeah.
Starship Troopers.
Okay.
There we go.
I was going to say, the famous superhero flick about the highway
Well,
patrolman.
I mean, maybe there's an argument there, actually, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
Nothing
bad's going to happen to them.
Yeah, there's really no tension in that
movie.
No,
there's no tension at all. Every action scene, I know they're going to come out on top.
Also, I felt like Deadpool, they're trying to be tongue-in-cheek, you're right, but then there are also moments where it's like, is this, there's like a heaviness that they were trying to put in.
Which was refreshing. It wasn't all just, fourth wall-breaking lunacy. There was a lot of heart to the movie as well, which I thought was refreshing, because they easily could have gone.
Where is the heart?
What's that? Where is the heart? Well, it was a love story. You saw the posters.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah.
Well, it seems so fake, though, like in terms of we need a love story now. That's it's another trope. Like they did that in Thor, too, where it's like,
well, they do that. Every Bond has a Bond girl who's never mentioned again because Bond's a psychopath.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're making that central to the story, like the Bond girls aren't ever central. They're, you know, sort of cast away.
No, this is very true.
You know, it's a love story. So you're going, oh, what am I doing here? Is this supposed to be making fun of superhero movies? Is this supposed to be a dark, serious action movie with a scary British villain, or is this supposed to be a love story? And I don't think that it can be all three. And if it can, I don't think that Deadpool
it. It had some love story and it had some goofy bits.
It did.
And it made the child and most people who had a full childhood giggle inside Simon.
Well, my childhood was watching Total Recall and, you know, and Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah,
and Alien. So, I mean, I had a childhood, but I mean,
it was very Arnold Schwarzenegger heavy.
It was extremely Arnold Schwarzenegger heavy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, sure, you can call me a curmudgeon if you'd like. But,
I shall.
And you'd probably be right.
I shall.
But I don't know. I think it's more of like I sit there and I go, I know exactly what's going to happen, and I'm just like bored.
Yeah.
That's really all it is. I mean,
are you one of those people that like you'll sit at home watching a movie with people and the whole time you're just grumbling under your breath to yourself and it's like, oh, well, that can't be a thing.
No.
Cars don't do that.
No. I'm more complaining about, oh, is that a bottle of Coke? I can see that bottle of Coke. Damn it, how much money did they get? Not so much plot and stuff. Like I'm willing to suspend my disbelief to a certain degree, but it's weird though because, and I've brought this up before, I think that also I know that they can't kill Deadpool because Deadpool 2 has to come out.
Yeah,
and for me that ruins it a lot of it because I go, this is just setting up something else.
Oh, yeah. It's the curse of the franchise.
Well, everything's a franchise.
Yeah. Which means nothing can die.
Yeah. So which just takes more tension away for me.
You just miss like the noir era of films.
I miss having
they never ended and made no sense.
No, I miss guessing and not knowing what was going to happen.
Oh, okay.
I miss being surprised.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I miss not sitting there with a scowl on my face while everyone else is laughing at the butt jokes.
Yeah. You know? Like, well, learn to like the butt jokes.
I can't. It's not. Believe me, I'm far gone. But I did sit in the D box. Have you ever?
Oh, seen that? Yeah. I was gonna ask. Yeah. And you got them with points, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not worth paying for at all.
No,
ever.
Not
in the least. If you get this, they changed this recently. Where I'm very familiar with this. When you had 1,000 points, you get a free movie.
Yeah.
And just until a couple of months ago, you could get any seat with those 1,000 points, which is the only time we use the debug. They changed that now. It costs more points if you want to get
like
the better seats.
Yeah,
instead of 1,000.
Yeah.
And the debug, yeah, like they're it's just like 3D. Like they're a treat and you kind of notice them for the first little bit and then you totally forget they're there and why the hell did I pay so much more for it?
Well, it's weird. Okay, if people don't know what the debug is, they're these red seats and they're separate. Like you have a good like 5 inches between each seat.
Yeah, they're huge.
And there's a little like slider on the side of it, and I don't know what the hell this thing does.
Vibration intensity.
Yeah, it's vibration intensity. That's exactly right. And what happens during the movie is if someone is in a car, the seat will rumble a little bit to simulate you being in a car. If Deadpool gets punched in the face, the seat will like jolt to the side, left or right, or something. Like, it's basically it. I mean, it even goes so far as to he's riding in a garbage truck at one point. The vibration, I was like, yeah, I could see this being a garbage
this
truck.
This feels real.
But it's
this
insane.
Feels like a garbage truck.
Because I'm sitting there like, I'm not paying attention the first 10 minutes of the movie because I'm going, oh my God, my seat is moving.
Yeah.
What's happening? Like, I didn't know what to expect.
And they'd be the worst for like if you wanted to take a girl on a date and impress her with how many scene points you have and you got her the D-Box seats. And then you're like 8 feet away from each other. Like, that's not, you can't cuddle on a D-Box seat.
No, you really can't.
You would get your arm removed.
It's really made for solo.
Yeah, solo movie adventurers.
Yeah, wow.
Who don't want to interact or talk during a movie, which is fine.
Which is
those people are garbage.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I remember when I saw Whiplash. Remember Whiplash?
I never saw Whiplash.
Anyways, there was a guy, but it's a drumming movie, and a guy sitting.
Imagine the D-Box seats in that one.
You'd get a concussion, I think. You'd be...
It feels like I'm sitting at a drum set.
Yeah. Oh, my God, being screamed at. There was a guy sitting behind me tapping his foot to all the drum beat. And there was some soda or something on the ground, dried soda.
Oh, my God.
And I was sitting there like, I gotta say something. And I went, can you just stop tapping your feet, please?
Yeah.
And he just didn't say anything, kept watching, just kept tapping his feet. Yeah. And I went, okay, I guess there's nothing I can do now.
You can't kill the fire inside a man.
No, I guess not. Well, somewhere down the line, it got killed in me, and I don't know. This is what I'm learning.
And you want to put it out in everyone. You want to go to Deadpool and talk about how you know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And they have to make it number two. It doesn't matter how fun or whimsical the journey is.
Oh, it wasn't fun and whimsical at all for me. You know what I mean? How do you maintain such a positive outlook?
Because my life is very easy and good.
Well, so is mine.
Yeah, exactly.
I have nothing to say.
I have very few hardships I've had to go through.
Yeah.
It's kept the child in me alive.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think so much that the child in me is dead. It's just that...
It sounds pretty dead.
The child in me expects more. And it's like if the child in me isn't being satiated, then these things must be... terrible.
Well, speaking of inside children, Ed, how about the Michael Bay Tim Hart? Michael Bay Ninja Turtles.
Oh,
I thought that was going a different way with inside children.
See, I did. I was going, please, Gavin, be careful. Gavin,
it's
what are
too
you
early for this. Nah.
I didn't see that. I never I watched the original Ninja Turtles movies, which were never really that great.
They were pretty bad.
There's
a pretty good nostalgia lens over the old Turtles movies.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like, people were worried about Michael Bay ruining them.
They have lips, which is weird.
Yeah,
like it's weird that he gave them lips, and the in classic Michael Bay style, the product placement was off the chain. Like, there was so many, and not even just background. Like, this was, they have to pay extra, like, the stars will talk about and consume the product, which cost, like, 8 times more than it's having in the background.
Yeah.
Like, Michelangelo, middle of a fight scene, be like, oh, we'll go back to my secret place and have a delicious, cool, refreshing, like, Orange Crush. And Pizza Hut was there. That was the pizza they ate.
Yes. Cowabunga, dude, let's get some Orange Crush.
Yeah, yeah. Orange Crush and Pizza Hut.
Oh,
tell your
no.
parents.
Okay, and so that was a bad movie.
Yeah, right? I didn't really like it.
See,
at all.
This is what's weird to me is like I can't separate like in Deadpool they make fun of Green Lantern throughout the whole thing.
Yeah,
but I'm sitting there going like, this is a bad movie too. I don't understand why Green Lantern is bad, which it is.
Yeah,
and this one isn't.
Like, because it's written better.
It's written
better, and
what about the writing? Like the jokes, you mean?
Yeah.
Or the
plot? like the jokes, and just to be fair, I never saw Green Lantern because I just heard it was bad.
It was,
but like there was a lot of fan service. There was a lot of inside jokes. Like the writing was funny. The back and forth was funny. TJ Miller was there, and he was amazing. The back and forth with them was great.
Yeah,
there was so much about that movie to enjoy if the fire inside of you hasn't gone out from.
Well,
someone tapping their foot during Whiplash.
Well, there's also a scene, and I'm not going to say what happens, but at first I was going, you know what? I think this is funny. I like this scene.
Mm-hmm.
But then I realized that it happened already in Monty Python and the Holy Grail. And I think you can probably think of which scene it is where limbs are being, you know.
Yeah. No, I had the same thought.
And I sat there and I went, I like this scene. This is funny. And then I went, oh, wait. No, it happened 40 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah,
when they made Monty Python. The
Holy
Grail.
Well, so is everything. Everything in any movie ever happened 40 years ago.
That's not necessarily true. But I think it just added to the fact that I was going. I'm not looking to hate this movie.
Mm.
In fact, I don't want to sit here for 2 hours and be bored.
Yeah.
I want to like this stuff. But but I still am just finding that it's. Even the stuff that I was going, I think I can like this part of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I found reasons not to.
Oh, jeez.
But I don't know.
I'm so sad for you. I had so much fun.
Yeah, well, fair enough. It's not like I don't have fun and don't watch movies that I like. I do. But going to the theater is mostly, it's been, there's nothing for me to see in the theater, really.
Mm.
I mean, there's few of the big ones like Revenant and stuff like that. But as far as... the large percentage goes. It's all superhero movies.
It is, absolutely, because those are the safe investment right now. But I feel like we're on the outer end of that. And
really? With 400 Civil War movies coming
out?
Yeah,
but like, they're all planned and everything, but I can't help but feel that the DC Universe ones coming out are just going to be so bad and such cosmic failures that it's just going to put a depression in the whole superhero movie market.
Why do you feel like that?
I don't know. I'm an enormous Batman fan. Batman
okay.
has been my thing forever. Like, all the comics I read were mostly DC. I didn't read as much Marvel.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited and afraid of the DC ones because it's all very slapdash. The whole Marvel universe was very carefully built over a huge risk and a huge investment over like a decade of different independent, decently well done for people with childhoods movies.
Yeah,
and
with people with the IQ of children.
Yeah, yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. People that aren't Simon.
Yeah.
Simon. If I'm gonna make it specific.
Yeah, yeah.
This carefully constructed world, and that's why it's been successful. And DC's like, okay, we're gonna release two movies and try to do all the same things within like a 4-hour span.
Yeah,
and it's just I'm fairly sure it's just going to be a slapdash thing all thrown together.
Are you talking about Batman versus Superman?
Mostly, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think that's universally being said that it looks bad.
Yeah.
Everyone's saying it looks bad. Me, I can't step out of my own shell and say,
you don't know
I
want to
be like, excuse me, they all look bad. What's the difference?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I want to shout. But
yeah,
for
you're
people
the wrong
who
audience.
For people who like these things, even they're saying,
I want it
bad.
To be good. I want it to be good so bad because it's based on one of my favorite comic books of all time. And
well, I'll tell you this. I have a huge comic book collection.
Yeah.
And I love comic books, but these movies still don't appeal to me.
How do you love the comics and not the movies?
I don't know. I think I'm willing to hold movies to a standard where I don't hold comic books to.
Huh.
I separate them so heavily. Even the comic books where I'm like, this is incredible writing,
mm-hmm.
like Alan Moore or Grant Morrison.
But it wouldn't hold up on a screen.
They haven't in the past. They've made like 5 or 6 Alan Moore movies.
Yeah.
From Hell, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Ooh, yeah. The one that ended Sean Connery's career.
Yeah.
He went into retirement after that one.
Yeah. Well, okay. And then there's some good ones. Watchmen.
Watchmen
was good. For Vendetta.
And I liked V for Vendetta. Yeah. Those were good. He hated them, but he hates.
Swamp Thing.
Yeah. I mean, did they make a. Well,
Wes Craven made one in the 70s, in the 80s, I think. Yeah. With Adrian Barbeau.
Was it based off of Alan Moore's?
I think so.
Huh.
Because he wrote them. He wrote those quite a long time ago. I think it was in the 80s when he was writing Swamp Thing.
I'm not.
I could be wrong.
Sure.
Yeah.
I just know that Alan Moore hates everything anyone has done about any of his things ever.
He's a very
curmudgeonly old man.
That's true. See, maybe that's why I feel a soft.
You're an Alan Moore part.
Yeah, I really. I'm like.
You're right, Alan Moore. Everything is terrible.
I'm growing a beard just like him.
We should all burn our Watchmen books.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, I don't know. It's cool, though, too, because the artist for Vendetta got most of that money from the movie. Like,
oh,
Alan
terrific.
Moore went, listen, I don't want any of the money.
Yeah.
Throw it his way.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, but I can't remember the point I was trying to make. Oh, yeah. I'm rambling so heavily here.
Yeah.
But there is a separation there. And that's maybe illogical.
Mm.
Like, I understand that it doesn't really.
Yeah, it's
like
weird.
You know, like, you ever read Batman Red Son or Superman Red Son?
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, those are cool, but I feel like they could easily make those into movies that would.
That you would not like.
That I would not like. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And,
that's
or, like,
so weird.
I know.
Because we're finally in an era where they're putting big money into making movies as much like the comic books as they can.
And hey, if people go out and buy the comic books because of the movie, great.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You know what? I'm not gonna pretend like that annoys me at all.
Yeah.
I'm glad more people are buying and putting money into that.
It's
industry.
Nerd chic now.
Yeah. Well, it's true. And whatever. I'm not that much of a hipster where I'm going to complain that
you were into it before. It was
everybody
cool.
Likes
this is literally what you've been saying this whole episode.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
You revealing that you're into the comics but hate the movies is that.
Yeah. Well, no, but I will say this, though, and hopefully this will alleviate some hipster element to what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I started reading comic books because of the Sin City movies.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not saying
fair.
Like
you're
I was
a late bloomer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, I think the first, I was reading, like, Asterix or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And, like,
Garfield.
Before I realized that comics could be, you know, adult.
Yeah, so much more.
So I read stuff like Preacher. Have you ever read Preacher?
I haven't read that one.
No, oh, I mean, there's lots of really cool stuff out there, you know? But for some reason, and I think it comes back to the fact that I'm not surprised by the movies anymore. Those comic books, even if you want to argue about them being highbrow or lowbrow, it doesn't matter.
Mm.
They would surprise me. I would go, God, this is a weird storyline. What's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
These movies are, I want to say that they're pretty much the same movie. With different characters in them.
Yeah.
There's a love thing that's jammed in there. There's a, you know, some kind of bad guy, you know, and then there's the same action scenes, you know? It's like, and maybe I'm explaining everything, you know? Everything
well,
is just that.
Yeah.
Maybe
like,
you're
like,
right.
I'm saying, like, there can be a lot of, those elements can all be in the same movie and repeated and still be a heck of a lot of fun. Like, the new Star Wars was a remake of A New Hope. We all saw it. We all saw, like, how it was pretty much the same movie, but I still liked the hell out of it. It was different enough, and the characters
Fair
were
enough.
New, and it was still really fun for me.
If I go on a roller coaster for the first time, it's amazing.
Yeah.
That 10th time, I'm not screaming anymore.
I'll still go on it the 10th time.
That's a fundamental.
I love
I'll
roller
go
coasters
on it,
that much.
I do too, but I mean, I'm getting tired of it by the 10th time, you know. And I feel like I'm on the 100th time with these superhero movies.
No, they are getting there. Yeah,
that's
the
point of view I'm coming from.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can be called an old man. I think you're more willing to be like, I just want to have fun here.
Yeah,
that's what I'm looking for something else.
Oh, then that's
you
fair.
Know what I mean? I'm looking for something.
You're
else.
Looking for something more serious in this relationship.
I am. I definitely am. it's bizarre though because I'm not in. My relationship with comic books.
Yeah.
I'm, you know.
There's a weird disconnect there.
Yeah. I don't know. But anyways, I don't know how I got off on that long, which I interrupted you somewhere.
Things
tangent.
We have strong feelings on.
I have to, do you have anything else to say about the Deadpool movie or anything?
I
recommend it?
I enjoyed it. Go see it. If you're not dead inside like Simon, you will think it's fun.
Well, all right. I mean, I like T.J. Miller. How about that? Does that do anything for you?
That's no.
But he also seems a little dead inside. You know?
Like, oh no, that's why he's great.
Yeah. Okay. Well. Yeah. Okay, well. You know,
you're not that kind of great dead inside. Damn it. You're just dead on the inside.
See, now I'm trying to make something positive out of it. And
I'm not going to let you.
Okay, we'll be right back.
FunDrive 2016 has started online. The donation page has officially gone live and it's waiting for you. Head on over to CITR.ca/donate to help us reach our goal of $40,000 to continue growing our local arts and music scenes in our diverse cultures. By donating, you'll receive awesome CITR prizes like notebooks, swag bags, LPs, and on-air shoutouts. It's all starting now.
Hey, this is Simon Armstrong from Vancouverite, Thursdays at 8 a.m. My co-host Alex and I love being on CITR, but we wouldn't be here without the support of our incredible community of listeners. Yes, it's time for the CITR Fun Drive. We're raising money to keep up these brand spanking new studios we've got here in the AMS Nest. Come see for yourself, and if you don't believe me, you can take one of the training sessions. Yes, donations help pay for those too. The Fun Drive runs for 1 week. We'll have volunteers at the phones from Thursday, February 25th at noon until Thursday, March 3rd at 9:30 p.m. It's all capped off by the huge Fun Drive finale at the Hindenburg on West Cordova. It's a massive celebration. You heard me. It's an old-fashioned romperoo of a telethon. And yes, I just used the word romperoo. Your donations will pay for some better words as well. We've got prizes, so listen to us Thursdays, 8 a.m. Hear more information.
All right, welcome back. You heard it. It's the Fun Drive. I think Alex got the comedy mix to donate some tickets or something. I don't know. I wish he was here. I wish there was some device that he could contact us by. I don't know. Yeah, but I heard what? He's in a RAV4 somewhere right now.
Yeah,
in the woods.
He's in the back of an infamously dangerous car to be in.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Well, yeah, and I think we're going to see if I can find him. We're going to see Wes Barker on Friday.
Oh, cool.
I can't remember. I think it's at the Vogue, but yeah, I'm excited about that.
Wes Barker's a treat.
I mean, if Alex doesn't show up, I'll take you, Gavin.
Oh,
you
I would
know?
Love that.
Yeah. Yeah,
he gave me his business card as a magic trick once, and I almost peed my pants.
Really?
Yeah, it was great.
What did he do? He pulled it out of your ear.
He showed up at an open mic just to check things out, and we were hanging out and having a beer, and he pulled out his phone. He's just like, "Oh, I got this neat little thing on my phone for business cards." I'm like, "Oh, okay, cool." And like the business card kind of like appears on his phone, and then he makes it look like he pulls it out of the screen and gave it to me. And like I obviously knew how it was done and everything, yeah. But it still made me squeal like a girl.
Of course.
Yeah,
I love magic tricks.
Yeah, so do I.
They're so, and I can't help but just scream and run around the room.
Oh
after
God!
One.
Oh, so much whimsy. I can't handle the amount of whimsy it fills me with.
They're so great.
Oh, they're amazing. Yeah, he's good.
Speaking of magic. I think Kanye West needs a little magic in his life.
Doesn't
you know?
He just? Man.
He seems so upset lately.
I've gone from like thinking he's just such a jerk and hating the guy to actually being like, I think he needs help. I think there's something, like there's something deeper here. Like he seems very in trouble.
Well, he's a weird guy because I remember thinking back when he first did that Taylor Swift interruption thing.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being like, this is made up. Like, this is just a cleverly...
Yeah, it's this a marketing is some thing. Ploy to get
because
more views.
At that time, Taylor Swift, I don't know if she still is, but she was marketed as, like, a good girl mm-hmm. and a nice person, you know, and this nice... You know, that was her image.
Yeah, yeah.
And Kanye West, on the other hand, was, you know, like a bad boy, like a rapper, you know? And then him interrupting her was just too perfect. It was just like, oh, you know, she's all like, oh my God, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know,
and all proper, and he's all, no.
Yeah, and so it seemed so marketed mm-hmm. and well made.
Yeah, no, that's just who he is.
And, you know, it's like advertising for both of them. But no, apparently, mm-hmm. I guess he's just a crazy person.
Yeah, no, he's bonkers.
And also, part of part of his appeal is that everybody seems to hate him or love him, and like,
oh, he's hugely respected.
He's
hugely respected, yeah. which is why I think it makes it even more of a disconnect. Like there's his music, which is just universally respected, and he's seen as a very influential rapper and producer. And then there's his personality, which, as far as I can tell, is just garbage.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny talking about this stuff, like, you know, like, we know these people. Or
yeah, exactly. It's all Kanye.
But whatever. But we'll do it anyways.
Yeah.
So what recently happened, I guess, is that he tweeted at Mark Zuckerberg asking for some money.
Yeah.
Looking for some help because, what, he's in debt?
Yeah, $53 million in debt.
That's no small chunk of change.
Yeah,
you could make a Deadpool sequel.
You could make a very solid Deadpool sequel that you would still hate.
Well, you could spend $10 billion on it, I'd probably still hate it. Just for the fact that you spent $10
billion. Oh, yeah. No, that'd be too much.
Let's read some of these tweets. Let's see here. Am I reading these in the right order? Yes. Mark Zuckerberg from Kanye West. I know it's your birthday, but can you please call me by tomorrow? So requesting over Twitter. Well, clearly has a red line phone.
Yeah.
Right to Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
He's tweeting.
Every celebrity gets like a little Batman phone in a case, and it goes to Mark Zuckerberg. Like, once you're famous enough, you get that line.
Once again, at Mark Zuckerberg. This is just a tweet, I guess, from Kanye West. You love hip hop. You love my art. I'm your favorite artist, but you watch me barely breathe and still play my album in your house. ...
Yeah, he says that, but in another tweet later, he says, like, I'm personally rich and can buy furs and stuff. I just don't have the money to do the things that I want to do.
Oh, it's so tough.
Yeah.
World, please tweet, FaceTime, Facebook, Instagram, whatever you got to do to get Mark to support me.
I feel like
weird.
If someone is large and well-known as Kanye can't get Mark's attention, I don't think I'm going to help. I don't think I can contribute any more than that.
Well, this might change your mind.
Oh, okay.
This next one.
Yeah.
I'm this generation's Disney.
Ooh.
So what do you think about that?
I would love to see Kanye World.
I wonder what Disney thinks of that. They're like, aren't we this generation's Disney?
We're still here.
Yeah, we're still Disney. What do you mean? We're still making movies for children.
I would love a Kanye West theme park. I think that'd be great.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah, Kanye
that's
Land.
That's a great idea.
And then they can open another bigger one called Kanye World, and then Kanye Paris.
Kanye
be everywhere.
Oh, my God. I was trying to do a continent Kanye West joke, and nothing. I
got like, Kanye, the pieces are there.
Kanye Tenant. No, it really doesn't work. Let's move on.
Kanye it's next album.
hey, maybe. Tweet at him. Everybody, please tweet and FaceTime Kanye West. I have a great
this
idea.
This is our $53 million idea.
Yeah.
Kanye tenant.
Oh, that's terrible. Kanye West. I don't have enough resources to create what I really can. Mm-hmm. Mark, I'm publicly asking you for help. One of the coolest things you could ever do is to help me in my time of need. And I will always respect you for that, and the world will love you. And then, hey, Larry Page, I'm down for your help, too.
Yeah, and he's the Google guy, right?
I don't know who Larry Page is.
Yeah, I believe he's the rich Google guy, which is the extent of my knowledge of...
The rich Google guy.
The rich, yeah, you know.
I mean, at this point, it's more than I know.
He's the Google guy.
Let's see here. Larry Page on Wikipedia, American computer scientist and internet entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I mean, so if he's an internet entrepreneur, Kanye
West probably
the
Google guy.
Yeah, well... Who co-founded Google.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, it's not insane for it is insane for him to reach out to him, but
it
makes some – you could see it in some crazy
it's
mind.
Related to this craziness.
Yeah, yeah. All you dudes in San Fran play rap music in your homes but will never help the real artists.
Oh, thank God I'm not in San Fran. I can still play rap music in my house.
If I buy someone's album
– Mm-hmm.
That's not enough. That's
not
supporting them enough.
That's not 53 million. Did you buy 53 million albums?
I mean, I didn't buy any of his
albums. No, that's clearly not enough.
I don't know. We're supposed to do more for artists.
We are.
Just
like struggling artists like
music.
Kanye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You'd rather open up one school in Africa really helped the country.
Yeah.
Kanye West. All you guys had meetings with me and no one lifted a finger to help. Well,
I didn't get a meeting.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. We could have given him the Kanye tenant idea.
How many schools? Oh, this is.
And the schools in Africa. I love that. So you should help me instead of the schools in Africa. Oh, and then he's got that.
His business
plan.
I guess his business plan. His business is called Donda,
mm-hmm.
which his name. We looked this up. It's named after his mom.
Yeah.
And Donda is a.
I guess I should have left that Wikipedia page open, but I'll do a little quick sleuthing here and pull it up. But so Donda, as described by Wikipedia, is a creative company founded by Kanye West.
Well, I love that. Like, if you type Donda into Google, like Google always has that little box where it does a quick summary of like what this is. And when you punch Donda into Google,
Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, it's Stuart.
Hey, Stuart.
Hey, Stuart. What's up, buddy?
I was just thinking maybe Kanye West, he could, with Mark Zuckerberg, he promised to name his next child after him.
Oh, that's a good Southeast Zuckerberg West.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Zuckerberg West.
Oh, I would pay for that. I would crowfund that. That'd be great.
That's a really
all I wanted to say. I gotta go.
Bye, Stuart. Oh shit. Oh shucks. I should have
poo. Well, we cut him off. Oh, well.
Yeah. Sorry, Stuart. Sorry, Stuart. If you want to call in and do some plugs, you can call in at 604-UBC-CITR. But this Donda group, it says West is secretive about the company's operations, maintaining neither an official website or social media presence.
Meaning it does nothing.
Well, there's a list of his projects here.
Oh, okay.
Kanye West, song Mercy. Kanye West, song Cold.
Oh, okay. So they're albums.
Yeah. Kanye West.
Singles.
Yeezus. Kanye West, Only One. Kanye West, All Day. Kanye West, Facts.
So it's just a label then?
Yeah. Okay. Well, also music videos. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Stage design.
Ooh.
Marketing.
Oh, stage
design.
It's
some kind of creative. It's a company where he can create stuff.
All the pieces are there for making Kanye land. Like he's got stage design and music, and this is what he's working on.
I think that's really gonna work out. Yeah. He could have a giant Kanye West statue made of gold.
They'd be everywhere. Not real gold. He's in debt, but like spray painted.
I mean, you gotta spend money to make money.
This is true.
That's kind of a necessary thing.
he's an expert at that.
Yeah, it's true. So, anyways, what happened? Well, how did he lose all this money?
Apparently, the majority is from his failed fashion lines.
Yeah.
I did a quick look up of this. Fashion's apparently a very dangerous industry to get into, especially for celebrities, because they get surrounded by consultants that just want to be with a celebrity. So it's a bunch of yes men.
Okay.
And then getting into a fashion line takes obscene capital. Like, it's very expensive to like make and maintain and then show, and then it probably won't pay off, especially if your fashion line looks like a bunch of homeless garbage clothing like Kanye West did.
Oh, I didn't see any of it.
Yeah, it was all like burlap. It was all hideous clothes. It looked like Mad Max, kind of.
Okay.
Like just
derelict.
Filthy beige. Yeah. It was gross. And it didn't go anywhere. And then his shoes are kind of successful, but they're only like $100 a pop, and you need a lot of those.
I saw people lining up at Foot Locker because the new, Yeezy Boost 350s
are
out?
Yeah, Yeezy shoes are really popular, but he's had a few different fashion attempts, and as far as I know, they've all been abysmal failures to the tune of about $53 million.
G-Unit was pretty successful, wasn't it? Like, 50 Cent was pretty successful in terms of clothing. Like,
I guess he
outfitted all those like Foot Lockers and stuff with G-Unit stuff.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, people used to wear G-Unit all the time. I mean, I don't know what happened to it. Nobody cares about 50 Cent anymore.
Not for a while.
So G-Unit's long gone. But
yeah,
G-Unit.
He's been replaced by Yeezy here.
Well, you would think so, but no, it doesn't sound like he's doing that well.
I know. I thought he'd be a lot more successful.
It's funny
sell some of his mink coats.
It's funny that 50 Cent is the nemesis to Kanye West. They always seem to be at each other's necks, you know, like they had that, I don't know if you remember, they had that, their albums were releasing at the same time.
Yeah, and Kanye won.
Yeah. Oh, did he? Yep. Kanye won. Oh.
Yeah, so some people kind of see that as like almost the kind of surpassing of gangster rap.
I see.
Because that was kind of when, the hardcore gangster rap was sort of on its way out, and then Kanye came in with sort of his more prim and proper style, and it was surpassed, and then 50 Cent shot 8 times, bullet absorbent kind of thing was
moved.
No longer relevant.
Now it's all about Yeezy.
Yeah, now it's all Kanye.
Yeezus.
And his poor fashion decisions.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
The gangster rap has moved on to fashion industry debt.
That's where
gangster rap went.
If his next album is not just about fashion industry debt and the hardship of the streets of the fashion industry.
So what he did, I guess, is he made a business plan and he tweeted it. And he said, here's my Donda chart that I wrote 4 years ago. So, and everyone laughed at.
Yeah, well, it's pretty funny.
I mean, what is going on
here? Just a bunch of different columns with a bunch of very vague headings. Like, what's that? He's got one called transportation.
Oh, yeah, transportation. Cars, planes, trains, buses, motorbikes, pedal bikes. Okay.
This looks like an assignment from like a high school ESL class where like the teacher put out like transportation, write in words that are transportation.
Right.
It's like, okay.
Here are some examples. Protective services, physical protection.
Oh, good.
So, see, he's branching out. He wants to go into everything. Internet.
Physical protection's my favorite kind of protection.
Well, mental, what are you, mental protection?
No.
Spiritual protection? Who needs it?
Yeah, no, nobody. Especially from Kanye. I only want to be physically protected by Kanye. I want him to wrap me up in his little Kanye cocoon and just make me safe.
I mean, if he had a little mental protection, maybe
he would
be doing a little
better. Yeah, there's nothing here in this chart about mental health, which I think is pretty revealing. Yeah, under wellness, he just has fitness and healthy fast food. So him and Jamie Oliver will be teaming up.
Oh, I mean, I'd be into that.
That'd be neat.
Yeah. Easy pans and pots. easy pasta.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Easy kitchenware.
Yeah.
I can see him and Chef Ramsay just chilling out.
Oh, my God. The risotto. The risotto's not
always the risotto.
Wellness. Fitness. Healthy fast food. I mean.
Yep.
Oh, this he really has encompassed the entire scope of business here. He has everything.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, everybody laughed at that. What the hell?
Yeah.
Right?
I know. Who would laugh at such a solid list of categories?
of vague.
Vague categories.
Vague nouns.
All of the headings are related to the things underneath the headings.
Yeah. We could.
There's thought there.
Here, I'm gonna tweet this picture, or I'm going to put this picture out, a link to this picture, on the Facebook page for Vancouver, right? So you can go and see this ridiculous chart if you want. There, it's up now. And this kind of brings me back to this video that I saw. I heard it on Sirius XM satellite radio a little while ago, and there's a DJ named Sway, and he interviews all the hip hop guys, you know. And he interviewed Kanye West, and Kanye West flipped out at him. And I don't know, I thought it was a little interesting. We can listen to a little.
This sounds relevant. Let's have a look.
Y'all want to go to Africa? I'm standing up and I'm telling you, I am Warhol. I am the number one most impactful artist of our generation. I am Shakespeare in the flesh. Walt Disney, Nike, Google. Now, who's going to be the
people.
Medici family and
Bill
stand
Gates.
Up and let me create more? Or do you want to marginalize
Swarovski.
Me till I'm out of my moment?
Or why don't you empower yourself and don't need them and do it yourself?
Halfway.
Take a few steps back.
You ain't got the answers, man. You ain't got the answers.
Sounds like he's got some very reasonable answers.
You ain't got the answers, Sway.
Kanye.
I've been doing this.
He's being very reasonable
here. He's like, just take a step back, take a chill out. It's
no, Africa, Swarovski. Well, Disney.
What?
Big picture ideas. Kanye Land.
Michael
more
Bay.
You ain't got... Come on, chill out.
You
bro.
Ain't got the answers.
Kanye, relax.
You ain't got the answers.
Bro, I'm asking you.
You
a
ain't
question.
Been doing the education.
Bro.
You ain't been doing the education.
Kanye, calm down.
You don't have the answers, though.
Calm down.
Because you're trying to give me advice about something.
No,
you
no,
ain't,
no.
You
listen.
Ain't got the answers. You ain't spent $13 million of your own money trying to empower
right.
yourself.
Yes, but I spent hundreds of thousands and putting out clothing lines at a smaller degree. All I'm asking you,
that is such reasonable advice.
It ain't Ralph level.
Let me ask you this.
It sounds like he knows exactly what Kanye
West
is talking about.
Like,
he's like, no, listen, I did this. I understand.
And this was a few years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, this
so
was.
This guy's trying
3 years
to,
ago.
Oh, yeah. So this was before the debt. So this guy's literally trying to tell him, Kanye, you shouldn't go spend $53 million on a fashion line. That's a terrible idea. You should do it in smaller pieces. Kanye's like, no, Africa, big picture. Diamonds.
Big picture. Milky Way galaxy. Black holes. What? All right. There we go.
It's the name of your clothing line. We don't know.
Kanye.
You know what I'm saying?
Because I lost money. But that's not.
Exactly.
That
and I could lose money on a higher level, too. Don't
really
think just because I got the most or the least money.
Let me finish my question, dog.
Man, no, man.
Let me hear the question,
you don't have
man.
The answers.
I'm asking you for the answer. It's a question. Why is it that you can't?
That's some logic Kanye West couldn't deal with.
Yeah,
right there.
Yeah, exactly. No, don't ask me questions. Say yes to all of my ideas.
I lost the money because I did not have the knowledge
okay,
of how
so
to do it the
have
right
money,
way.
So you don't have the money to do it. That's
he's wearing his
answer.
Headphones very ridiculously, I want to say.
Innocent.
They're on the back of his head.
Show, man. No, I'm talking to you as a homie.
No, it ain't no homie, man.
Why are you so agitated?
The bottom line is,
man,
everybody,
I'm saying, you ain't got a tongue up. Like,
wait,
you ain't got
he's acting like this is the first time anyone's asked him questions like, are you sure you have the money for this? No! Don't tell me things. How dare you?
What do you mean it ain't no hold up, man? We here talking as civilized people. I'm trying to understand your world because when I go to your concert, I'm curious about what you're saying. I don't know. That's why I'm asking you the questions.
Well, I'm explaining to you what
it
is.
Okay, but you ain't got to turn up on me man-to-man, dog.
Africa.
Fuck these mics. We could turn all this shit off. You ain't got to do this. It's cool. I love you, bro. But you ain't got to turn up. Ain't no. Don't try to embarrass us.
I'm not trying to embarrass y'all. What I'm trying to say to y'all is this industry of what I'm trying to get into, ain't nobody never broke down. Ain't nobody broke down. We all slaves. So I ain't trying to disrespect you on your show. We all slaves
or
something.
About my show, yeah.
These are solid answers.
I ain't trying to disrespect you, period. Let me talk if you're going to have me talk.
I mean, he's clearly, you know, he's just upset, right? Like, he's like, listen, I thought I could do this.
Yeah.
I thought I could do this, and it's not working out for me.
Yeah.
And he's pissed.
And the last thing he wants to hear is, you can't and shouldn't do this more. He's
like,
no, I'm going to do this 53 million more.
But you're right. This is so prophetic.
Oh, it's amazing.
I didn't even realize how
relevant
it was.
Because, I'd seen this before, and I remember this freak out. But I didn't click with the whole guy being like, you should do smaller fashion lines, maybe a few $100,000 a year, just kind of take it easy. And kind of like, no, that's not big enough.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make it bigger and be amazing. And then 3 years later, we're here we are. That's amazing.
He really thought he was going
to
be.
He should listen to Sway. We should all listen to Sway a little bit more.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to spend a few $100,000 on a fashion line.
That sounds very reasonable.
Right?
That's a reasonable business
plan. That's something I can do.
I'm going to spend maybe a few tens of thousands on physical protection items.
You know what? I'm going to start my own mental, spiritual protection agency just to spite you.
Yeah, and
you
we'll call what? It. Yeah, mine can be Yeezy and yours can be Yeezus. And we'll just have Kanye-themed things.
I think that we need to get into business with Kanye West.
We do.
Because, I mean, we can make this man... Forget
the
forget.
Three of us can make Mark Zuckerberg listen.
Absolutely. I forget 53 million. We'll make him 53 billion.
Yeah. Well, easily.
Give me a week.
Yeah. Kanye-land.
Kanye. Yeah.
$100 a ticket.
Drink soda drinks with his head as the lid.
Oh, yeah. And you like, and it's not a straw. You actually have to kiss his mouth to drink the fluid.
There we go.
Yeah. Those are million-dollar ideas.
I'm flabbergasted by how good of an idea that is.
As am I. I can't even. That's my idea. We're not partners. I'm doing this myself.
This is a Kanye West centered episode today.
It is.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
But you know what? As much as people hate Kanye West, it's like it's so fun to talk about him.
It is.
He's
there's so much to talk about. He should have made a cell phone app because his wife Kim Kardashian has. Like, microtransactions are how people make millions these days. His wife, Kim Kardashian, has this app called, like, Kim in Hollywood or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's a microtransaction app, and it's just this... It's terrible little 2D cartoon graphics, and you get a little avatar that kind of looks like her, and you can pay for extra clothing and places to go or something. And I was reading that it, at some point, and maybe still, is making $200 million a year.
Oh, my God.
$200 million off of an app that costs maybe a few $1,000s to create.
Yeah.
Like, that's lunacy.
So microtransactions are people paying, like, a dollar to do something,
The game itself is free to get. So you get your little cartoon avatar and maybe a few different items with it for free. And then you have to pay tiny, tiny amounts of money a little bit at a time to get extra stuff unlocked. And before you know it, you've spent a few $100s on this game that isn't even worth a penny. And it's brilliant. And like Game of War does this and like all those ads you see on TV, they can afford to put ads on the Super Bowl because they put out this free little game which has graphics from the 90s. Like StarCraft looks better than these.
Yeah.
And plays better, to be entirely honest.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And in order to play it effectively and fully, you have to drop a lot of money.
Yeah.
And yeah. And
to satiate your addiction of you know, getting Kim the right sunglasses.
Exactly.
You need to pay.
Because she's got $2. To look good on that red carpet.
Well,
and
can't look bad.
Yeah, no, she can't. And then I can take screenshots and share with my friends.
I have to take a break here. We'll be right back.
How will you write your history? The Science Undergraduate Society would like to cordially invite you to the Centennial Gala, which is taking place on February 27th. The celebration will reflect on UBC's illustrious past while celebrating the beginning of an exciting new chapter in its history. The event will feature performances from musicians and guest speakers who will share their thoughts on the history and the future of the university. For more information and ticket prices, check out the Science Undergraduate Society on Facebook.
Fan Club. Vancouver, right? That's Vancouver, comma, right, question mark. Get it? It's your favorite comedy entertainment news and personal story-based radio talk show.
Does that mean you have listeners?
Every Thursday morning from 8 to 9. That's every Thursday at 8 to 9 a.m. Hosted by top-tier Canadian entertainers, Alex Biron.
Visualize, if you will.
Okay.
A mountain.
Okay.
And...
oh, I got a great inspiration right now.
Yeah.
I'm talking about his nose.
And Simon Armstrong.
I make all the contributions to the show. We're also like incredibly awkward and uncomfortable. So when we try make some funny happen, funny man.
Dude, I can't remember what I was gonna say.
It's a show about intellectual conversation.
Pull my rat tail.
Friendship.
So what are you sweeping up after?
Can you stop?
Two of Vancouver's most intellectually stable men tell it like it is.
Alex is a hoarder of attention. How damaged is your heart?
The fans are raving about Vancouverite.
I don't really like it.
No.
But anyway, I was sitting in the bath.
It's a new way to make single people feel lonely.
So make sure every Thursday morning at 8, you wake up with Vancouverite on CITR 101.9.
Okay, have another drink. All right, welcome back.
Hello.
Here we go. We're wrapping up here. We got, 5 minutes before we get the old finger twirl.
Oh, God.
I have to get out of here. But what's going on around Vancouver? I mean, it's so expensive to live here, right?
Yeah.
Everyone's talking about that.
Yeah, that's not new at all. And we've gotten some pretty decent support from politicians recently. This has been hitting around the news. BC Liberal MLA Lori Throne's made some comments about... if you want to live in Vancouver and can't afford it, that's your problem, and you should just leave. And you should just go live in Abbotsford, and your job will follow you there, which has happened all the time for everybody.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, Vancouver will be fine if all the, plumbers and construction workers and teachers and nurses move away, right? It'll be...
yeah, exactly. Like, it's such a lunatic way to address that issue, because there's not...
yeah.
Vancouver, it's a desirable and very expensive place to live. It is.
Yeah.
But with any place to live, there are so many jobs that are essential for that kind of community and that kind of city to operate that don't necessarily pay the wages necessary to live there. And it is obscene to address the problem by saying you should just commute 5-6 hours a day.
Yeah.
That would solve the issue.
They don't... I mean, if saying... why don't you just commute and live in a cheaper area? Isn't that crazy? But saying it when there's not a good enough commuting system in place
absolutely.
Is crazy.
Asking because someone to spend 5 hours of their day is obscene.
They just had that referendum for TransLink like last year,
mm-hmm.
and everyone said no.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I don't know what to do now.
Yep.
You know, like
we're just done.
Yeah. And it's like we need it's trains out to Port Moody, we need trains, out to Langley.
Yep.
We need so much better infrastructure in terms of
so that we
commuting.
Can move in and out of the city. And the best part is it's not even because
I mean he's not even suggesting Langley, which would be
sort
of reasonable.
He's suggesting Abbotsford
and Merritt.
An entirely separate place. That's not reasonable at all. And it's not even like a list of people essential to run a city. Like you got baristas and you got servers and you got like line cooks and stuff like that that typically don't get very paid much, but are essential for a city to run. But it's not even about that anymore. It's that list is moving on to like medical students and engineers and graduates and scientists and like people that should typically be able to live here but still can't.
They still can't.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I think it's okay for a city central to be expensive. It's going to be.
No, and it's reasonably is. No one's whining about how expensive Manhattan is. It's a limited city area. There are people that will whine, but it's a limited space in a very desirable area, so it's naturally going to be expensive.
Right.
But the solution isn't sending all of the essential employees 3 hours away.
No, and the fact that this guy's an elected MLA is it's embarrassing.
Yeah, really. Exactly.
Like he's a douche. Like
It's a terrible, especially from a PR perspective. That's a terrible way to talk about it.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like, if you can't do it, just don't do it. I got a house in Abbotsford and I'm happy. It's like, I doubt that. I think you were lying to us.
I mean, what is he? He's, Where is he the MLA for? I don't even know.
I'm not sure.
But But it's like where? Oh no, Chilliwack and Hope. So oh. It's like.
Oh.
What is he? Is he commuting? You know, yeah. Like.
Yeah, exactly.
What is going on?
Just move to Prince George. Just yeah. Drive down yeah. from Prince George. Yeah. All the time.
Yeah. Oh my. I don't know. It's
and then he says that the jobs will follow you there, which is yeah. probably a surprise to all the jobs in the Vancouver core that aren't going anywhere and never have.
That's true. You know what, Gavin? I don't see any hosts coming in.
We might
us.
Be. It is reading break, and no one's here. That's we could true. Just be here all day.
That's true.
This could be the long haul. I didn't bring a lunch.
No, you didn't.
No, well, I didn't bring a lunch.
We can you know cut our limbs off and eat that. It'll satiate us as the day
yeah.
moves on.
That's good.
But I don't know. Politicians are constantly just proving their worthlessness. Mm-hmm. You know. In so many ways.
Yeah. And it's tough to be a politician because you have to vocalize your opinions to the masses. And that means, like, no matter... And there's a lot of politicians with a lot of opinions, so there will always yeah. be someone expressing an opinion who I dislike and hate. And that'll give me the idea that all politicians are garbage. So it's an unfair bias, to be fair. It's a pretty tough thing where no one's going to be happy, and including me. I'm not going to be happy with everything everyone has to say either. So it's a tough landscape to exist in, for sure.
It is, but as long as you're saying things that are smart, you can argue with a point.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like you can say like I see that point you're making, but I disagree with it.
Yeah.
But if people are just saying ridiculous, disconnected things like this,
exactly.
That's not something you can.
Yeah. There's no problem to solve here. Yeah. They can't be solved by moving away.
Yeah. Yeah. By a lobotomy. Yeah, well, I don't know. It's a problem everywhere. You're right. Like, we probably don't give politicians enough credit in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I mean, they
get a lot of hate because their job is to express an opinion that you might and probably won't agree with.
Yeah. And by virtue of the system, they have to make promises.
Yeah.
And they have to tell people what they're going to do, and then. With no idea of whether or not they can actually do it.
Yeah, and then they get there and realize how hard it actually is to do any of those things.
I'm trying to try my best, but listen, I can't do that
thing. I lied outright to all of you.
At the time, I thought it was the truth.
Yeah, like the weed legalization that was going to happen immediately.
Well, there is actually a website that tracks Trudeau's promises. Like, he made a bunch of promises,
mm-hmm.
and he made 215.
Oh, wow.
That was part of his platform.
Nice.
And he's achieved 13 of those.
Oh.
So,
okay.
I mean,
here we are.
Right? He's on the way. What he's done, cut the middle income tax bracket to 20%.
Okay.
He did that.
Yeah,
okay.
That's fair. That was easy.
Introduce a new tax bracket. Okay, lots of tax stuff.
Okay.
Go ahead.
That's apparently really easy to do really fast.
Okay. Long form census.
Oh, okay.
He restored it.
Good. I was worried.
He's doing all this stuff that nobody knows what the hell they are. So that's good. But the weed. We need the weed.
Yeah, exactly. You said there'd be weed. We want weed. Yeah. International relations be damned.
What makes you say it's not gonna happen?
Like the weed legalization?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if it'll never happen, but it's just everyone expected it to happen immediately. And it was being promised like it would happen immediately.
Yeah,
and we're running into the whole like international cartel agreements problem that are a little bit dicey, which makes it a little bit tough when you're bordering with a big country who really, really hates legalizing anything at all. And it's a big process to change that, I'm sure.
I mean, also a country that has two or three states already that have it legalized.
Yeah, they're on their way.
I mean,
at like the local level, the federal level is still very.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's unfortunate that we have to bow down to those mm-hmm. demands. But yeah, I mean that's true. It's understandable.
Especially we need allies to rely on, especially now that the oil sands are dead.
Yeah, that's true.
that was all we had.
Yeah, it was.
Now we just need weed farms.
We had a good 20 years.
We did.
It
was pretty solid.
Money.
I was watching an interview of Layla on the National, and they're interviewing somebody from the name escapes. Is it Fort McMurray? Where all
yeah,
the
yeah,
oil?
Fort
yeah.
Mac, yeah,
yeah, yeah. There was one of the guys that had just lost a job there, and he was doing the stay at home dad thing.
Yeah.
And his wife was working at a restaurant, and he wasn't working, and he had said something that I thought was funny. He's just like, I just want a job where I'll have sweat in my brow and know that I earned my keep. It's like, yeah. Then go join your wife at the restaurant, yeah, man. What are you doing at home? You don't honestly just want any job that'll leave sweat on you. You want a job that'll leave sweat on your brow and give you an insanely inflated
yeah.
income.
Yeah, 60,
that's what you want. Yeah. And I want it to be six figures. I should have included that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's so funny.
don't want just any job. If you wanted just any job, you'd have it.
Well, even I don't know if this is like an urban legend or something, but even the McDonald's down there, you would hear like, oh yeah, you can go to Fort Mac and get a job at a McDonald's
for like
$25
an
hour.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, yeah, but then you're working at a McDonald's in Fort Mac.
Yeah.
I don't care how much you're making.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it's a weird thing. I was always like, I can't see myself ever going to the and working at the oil sands. One because I'm a wimp and a dandelion.
Not nearly tough enough.
A dandelion, yeah. But also because morally, it just seems so insane. Like it seems so messed up to go and actively, contribute to that industry.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I understand that like. Everybody's
got to come from somewhere.
It's got to come from somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, but at the same time, you can say it can come from somewhere, but if you can do it without leaking waste into the river, that would be nice. maybe if there weren't salmon with golf ball sized tumors on their heads.
That's more
in
meat
in the river.
That's just more meat on the salmon.
That's true. That's
tumor meat is a delicacy in many areas.
I mean, you're making some good points.
I am.
I really missed out.
Yeah, you did. Have you had tumor fish?
No. Is
no,
it good?
It's not at all.
No.
But there's more meat.
Oh. It tastes significantly worse.
Yeah,
but there's
more of it.
A lot more.
Yeah,
of
it's
it.
The McDonald's premise. Yeah.
Oh.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Their fillet of fish is allegedly just a tumor from a Athabasca River salmon.
Yeah, tumor from a tumor fish.
Yeah.
That's why it's 100% Canadian. They always talk about all their Canadian stuff of sorts. You can't get tumor fish anywhere else. We have the best tumor fish.
All fillet of fish allegedly now come with a small pocket of tar in the patty.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is that truth?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a lot like a tumor pustule.
Yeah.
Instead of pus. It's Alberta tar.
Yeah, so. And that should be there.
Allegedly.
Yeah, exactly.
Allegedly.
Tartar sauce. Yeah.
I've heard someone say.
Yeah.
Not my opinion.
Allegedly.
May not be fact.
No, may not be fact at all. We don't want McDonald's to sue us because
their
breakfast is delicious.
Is it? Do you think it is?
It's accessible.
Yeah, yeah. It's there.
It's there. It is really what you should answer that with.
Yeah.
McDonald's breakfast. It's there.
It's there.
Yeah.
McDonald's breakfast. You'll regret it.
Yeah.
McDonald's breakfast.
Well, McDonald's
diarrhea.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's not like McDonald's breakfast you'll regret it. Some McDonald's breakfast you already regretted something.
Yeah.
Like you're there because you feel like garbage and you were probably hungover and you tried to get there before 11 to get it.
McDonald's breakfast. Liquid crap at 10 a.m.
Yeah, exactly.
There we go.
Especially if you get it with the coffee.
That really gets stuff going.
Oh, man.
That's what I miss about coffee. I stopped drinking coffee.
Did you? Yeah. I only just started.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was not ready for it at all.
No?
I was not. No. I wasn't ready for like the half-hour timer. Like, it just pulls the pin on a grenade.
Yeah.
And you've got 30 minutes, and you better be ready.
Yeah.
It's going to take up some of your morning.
You're getting loose.
Yeah.
Real loose.
Oh, my God. Why didn't anyone tell me about this? They're like, yeah, try coffee. It's awesome. I got a little single cup maker at home.
Yeah.
And it was delicious, and I had access to coffee, and I wasn't going to McDonald's or Starbucks anymore for it. And I learned that 30-minute window.
Yeah.
And it is so crucially important. Like, how do people have a coffee in the morning and then go commute to work for 40 minutes?
I don't. Well.
That's too much time.
They're getting up really early.
Yeah.
You gotta make sure, like 4 a.m.
You gotta leave yourself that window.
It's really like a terrible circle because you get up earlier, you need more coffee.
Yeah.
You're taking a longer dump. So you just end up never going to bed, and just those hours from, 11 p.m. through to 6 a.m., you're just on the toilet.
Yeah.
And drinking coffee.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is just increasing the problem.
No.
That's why I quit.
It's a cleanse.
Really. Yeah.
It's a cleanse.
Well, yeah,
in a way.
That's true.
Yeah, it's a cream and sugar delicious cleanse.
So what, you just started drinking coffee? Is that
pretty
what you
much?
Said?
Yeah. I would always go to Starbucks. Well, not I would occasionally go to Starbucks like once every couple of weeks or something. But I wouldn't get coffee. I would just get their cake in a cup. Because if you're if you're going to Starbucks and just getting like black coffee and paying for it, you're an idiot. Like if you're going to Starbucks, you're going there for liquid cake, and it's amazing.
Yeah,
and it's caramelly and whipped creamy, and it's so good. But I never had coffee regularly at home, and then I got this little thing called Aeropress, which makes single press coffee pretty quick, and it was the greatest and the worst because I had to learn that window. But now I know my window, so I've adjusted to that.
How much coffee are you drinking in a day?
Maybe 2 cups.
That's not bad at all.
No, yeah,
so you can. That's a healthy amount.
I just started though, so I'm still sensitive to it.
Yeah,
and soon that'll be deadened.
You get like all jazzed up and like,
yeah, it's still the point where like I feel okay in the morning and I drink coffee and I feel great. I'm not at the point where I feel garbage and I drink coffee and I still feel garbage. I just had to drink the coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It gets to the point where you feel like trash.
Yep.
You need to drink coffee so that you don't feel like trash with a headache.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's really, the coffee withdrawal headaches are some of the worst.
I bet they're off the chain.
They're pounding and relentless. I actually quit because I got a cold and I like a really bad flu and I couldn't get out of bed for like 3 days and I went like, well, I already have a headache.
Yeah.
And I'm already feeling like terrible, so I don't really need to drink coffee. I don't have anything to do. I'm just lying here. And in fact, I want to go to sleep, so I don't want to drink coffee. And then after 3 days, 3-4 days, I'd gotten over the flu and the coffee withdrawal.
Oh, man.
And I went, I feel like pretty good right now. Maybe let's see how long we can take this.
Yeah.
So, it's actually been over a year now. But
ooh.
I have like a coffee got here and badge. There. Like I'll have a sip of someone's latte or something. Oh, I miss it. Oh boy,
that's
do I
not
ever...
drinking a coffee here or there. Yeah. That sounds like a desperate. Like, can I just have a little sip of
it
yours?
Tastes so good.
Like, I can't be trusted to have my own.
I really can't. No, I can't. I'll go into like a Vietnamese restaurants and I'll look at that iced coffee they have with condensed milk.
Ooh.
Have you ever had that?
Yeah,
And I just go blah.
Yeah, I discovered that because Sheena was telling me about like the wonders of condensed milk because I thought it was just milk in a can. I didn't know it was pudding.
Yeah,
and she bought it from the grocery store for me to have in my coffee, and it was the greatest experience of my life. I didn't know you could just put pudding in coffee, and like it's an okay thing to do.
Yeah,
and I even posted on Facebook, and it's like I just put condensed milk in my coffee. This is the greatest thing ever. And one of my friends put down, he's just like, "Oh, that's called Vietnamese coffee." I'm like, "Oh my god, can I have like Vietnamese cereal and like Vietnamese everything else?"
Vietnamese cereal.
Everything.
Oh my god, condensed milk Cheerios.
Oh, condensed milk Fruit Loops. Diabetes train.
Oh,
wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Oh my god,
that would be crazy.
That would be just a cloud every morning.
I'm just thinking about Fruit Loops. I'm gonna have Fruit Loops.
Fruit Loops are amazing.
You know, you have an addictive personality. When someone mentions something you haven't had in a long time, you go like, I have to.
Yeah,
like,
I need to do that now.
Ruins your train of thought.
Yeah.
I was thinking about Fruit Loops.
I just hate Fruit Loops real bad.
Yeah, give me some Fruit Loops, maybe. Like,
yeah,
I just want some Fruit Loops.
Just a few.
I know,
just a few of the purple ones.
I'm not getting back on Fruit Loops. I just like want a little taste.
Yeah, just a little taste
of Fruit Loops.
Just something to get me through the day.
I want some Fruit Loops. Yeah, just a green one.
Yeah, just the green ones. I want the green ones.
Those are the least sugary.
Yeah. That special edition blue Fruit Loops?
Yeah, the...
Oh, my God. They all taste exactly the same.
Remember those Apple Jacks commercials where they're like, you can send us an email and tell us what color you think the new Apple Jacks should be. And meanwhile, everyone was like, who eats Apple Jacks? Who cares about Apple Jacks?
Okay, the color isn't going to make this better.
I mean, that was a huge campaign in the 90s, 2000s, of Apple Jacks recoloring. Apple Jacks.
My favorite cereal thing in the 90s was the Lion King spoons.
Oh,
that's what I remember most clearly.
And they were terrible plastic, so they would get like...
they would degrade so fast.
Yeah, they would get stained from all the milk and stuff and like get all white. And,
yeah.
But they were cool spoons.
They were very cool spoons.
Totally forgot about that. You could taste the plastic as you were eating the cereal.
Oh God, it probably gave us all tongue cancer.
Well,
tongue and mouth cancer.
That's where my childhood died. It was sucked out of me by the
by the plastic
by
spoon.
The plastic Lion King spoon.
Lion King spoon from the 90s.
Yeah,
it killed us all. Yeah. It really did.
And those brain freeze straws at 7-Eleven. Did you ever?
No, I didn't have there was no 7-Eleven in Whitehorse.
No,
I was lit. No,
oh
we
my
didn't.
God.
We just had this. We have this place called Tags, and it was for the
Tags.
Longest time. It was the only. It was a kind of a gas station, but it also had hot food, kind of like 7-Eleven.
Okay.
And it was the only 24-hour place to get food. And literally the only time anybody ever ate there was at 3 in the morning after the bars closed down. There would be a lunch rush at Tags, and I have no idea how I didn't die. Because he'd be standing there with all these greasy, drunk people, and he'd be like, yeah, give me some of the hot wings. And he'd, like, take your money from you and put it in the register and, I don't know, wipe his hands everywhere, and then just go give you fistfuls of the chicken into the thing and then give it to you like it was just food poisoning in a tray.
Oh, my God.
And never – well – I don't know if it ever got to me or not, because I you can't tell if you got food poisoning from a place if you're blackout drunk every time you go there. Because the next morning might be a hangover. Yeah. It might have been the chicken wings. You don't know.
Yeah. Hangover, really bad hangover and food poisoning have probably the same
very similar
symptoms.
Yeah. So that's how their business model works.
Well, fair enough.
Yeah. It works.
Oh, my God. What else? What other good stories you got from Whitehorse? That's so fascinating that you grew up in Whitehorse.
I don't know. I don't know too many stories. No. It's easy to drink too long, especially at music fests and stuff, because like the sunlight is up all the time. So usually darkness is a good indicator that it's a decent time of night. You should probably go fall asleep somewhere.
Yeah.
But that doesn't happen up there. So the only time I've ever done like 20-hour benders has been up there, because you don't know. You don't know the difference.
No.
Like, you start off your day with a nice sour toe cocktail, and then you just off you go.
Okay, wait. What's that? What?
You don't know the sour toe cocktail?
No, what's a sour toe?
It was all over the internet. The sour toe cocktail, it's in Dawson City in the downtown hotel.
Okay.
And it's a big tourist attraction. And what it is that you pay this crazy guy in a paddle boat captain outfit.
Okay.
He sits in the corner of the bar. And you bring a shot of your choice to him, and you pay him $20. And he does this whole ceremony where he does a little poem and everything about the origins of this. And then he drops a severed pickled human toe into your drink, and then you drink that. And you have to you can't swallow the toe. But you have to let it touch your lips in order to get the little certificate that you did it. So, yeah, that's the sour toe cocktail. It is a severed corpse, piece of a corpse in a drink.
Whose toe is it?
They're donated. They're donated after an accident or frostbite, usually, or I think some people, like, after they die, put in their will, like, donate some of my toes to the sour toe cocktail.
Right.
So it's a little bit of a famous thing. But they are hard to get. And they're reused, yeah. Like, he'll spritz it a bit with some, could just be water, and then pats it in some paper towel, and then it goes and touches the next guy's lips.
Ew.
So, because you can't use a different
toe. He's got a drawer full of severed toes.
Yeah,
that
he's one of the few people allowed to do that in public. Because who doesn't have a drawer of severed toes? But this guy's just allowed to make money off of it.
Oh, my God. He's like, they're real hard to get. I haven't been murdering people.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you mean?
I've only got a few. I don't have, hundreds at all.
No, what do you mean?
All those feet washing up on the shore from him.
Yes, the feet. What do you think the feet are?
They're it's suicides.
Yeah.
And people that have died, the corpse rots around the shoe, and then the foot is preserved inside the shoe because it doesn't rot at the same rate, and then you just have shoes, feet floating around.
Easy as that.
It's all science.
Yeah.
There's no mob mystery murderer thing. It's just part of how the body decomposes. And because it's in the shoe, it floats. So it gets float around everywhere.
Here's my next question. Why don't we just wrap people in shoes if we don't want them to decompose?
That is an excellent question. I have no logical answer.
We can, if the shoes are stopping a foot from decomposing, I feel like that might be the key to immortality.
It might be.
I want to wrap myself in a new Yeezy Boost 350S.
That's the physical defense part. It's making sense.
Oh my
That's
God.
Part of his business plan. Yeezy's physical defense is just being wrapped up in his shoes. Oh, the next show guys are here.
Here we go. Perfect. So coming up next, we got Community Living Show. Gavin, you got anything you want to plug?
What do I want to plug? This Friday, I will be hosting this fantastic open mic / book show, pro-am show at the Railway Club in the Mermaid Room in the back. It starts at 8, so it's relatively early, and people always bring... It's a bringer show, so comics bring a couple of people. The crowd's always really good, and there's always a couple of pro drop-ins, and it's fantastic.
Cool.
And I'll be hosting it, and it'll be great. So do check that out. That's Friday at 8 at the Railway, and that's what I got for now. So, yeah.
Awesome. And we're on here every Thursday, but you already do that, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., or sometimes 9:15, as happened today.
Yep.
Alex didn't call in today. He must be lost...
He's still
buried alive?
Yeah.
Oh.
Keep an eye out for that RAV4 and Teresa Halbach green, which I think is the only color that car comes in.
Ew. Yeah, RAV4 really took a dive in their stock thanks to Netflix.
Or the murder car.
Oh, no. Yeah. All right, yeah, so we have email, 604podcast@gmail.com. We love getting emails from you. Please email us. Mm-hmm. It's great. I like reading them. I'll read your stuff on air if you want me to.
Yeah,
we
no
also have a
podcast. What it is.
Yeah, no matter what. Gratuitous.
Yeah.
Vulgar.
Please. Yes.
We also have a podcast if, you know, you want to hear uncensored version of basically exactly what you just heard. So, yeah, you can find us on iTunes. Vancouver, Right? That's it. We'll see you next Thursday.
Bye, everybody.